Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Early Line is live right here on SportsGrid on a Monday morning. Kevin Walsh joined by Donnie Wrightside. This is hour number two, and we start with Bengals Chiefs. Man, oh man, I got to tell you, folks. DRS, money line dogs. I'm sitting there. We have to do the pick six. I think we have to do the pick six into the postseason. And I think I need to hope and pray that Donnie picks the Eagles as his money line dog whenever the postseason runs around, because it's been an unbelievable. We're 17 weeks in. Donnie is no worse than like 12-5. On money line dogs. I'll let him talk about that. Let's talk about the game. You can fit it in where you'd like, DRS, because again, you should talk about it. It's phenomenal action. The Cincinnati Bengals beat the Chiefs 34-31. They trailed 28-14 with less than a minute left in the first half. It was a 28-17 deficit at the break. The Chiefs go touchdownless in the second half, lose the number one spot in the AFC, and the Bengals clinch the AFC North.
And also, Kevin, you're watching this game early on and even, quite frankly, into a little bit of the second half, and you're saying, like, yeah, outclassed, right? Here come the Kansas City Chiefs. This is why we never want to bet against them. A hot streak on the road. We knew the Cincinnati Bengals were a good football team, but not able to measure up. Maybe they can hang closer than the ball game. Not so fast here. The Cincinnati Bengals behind Joe Burrow at quarterback. How about this? 30 of 39, 446, four touchdowns, no interceptions, a passer rating of a 148. And you beat the Kansas City Chiefs by three. Do you see how well you have to play a quarterback to outduel Patrick Mahomes, who had a passer rating of 113 himself? That was a sensational game for the Bengals, moving on into the playoffs as division champions. And now you can look forward to the playoffs as a Bengals fan and say, you know what? We already took down the Titans of the conference. Maybe we can do it again once we get into the playoffs and stay hot. But I have to say this. The end of the football game, which worked out well for me because I had a money line dog here on the Bengals, which looked like it was dead in the water, came back and stole that one. But the simple fact is, I'm not giving any bonus points for the Bengals winning this game because Zach Taylor went for it on fourth down. It was the wrong decision, and he got bailed out. And he went for it again. It was the wrong decision, and he got bailed out, which essentially ran up the clock where you're able to kick a chip shot field goal to win 34-31. And the Bengals deserved to win this game. They played hard down the stretch. They got exactly what you wanted from your home crowd, that hype environment, and Joe Burrow was sensational. But the fact is, your coach almost sabotaged your entire game plan at the end because he wanted to, I don't know, throw a touchdown. Did he have a super teaser, Kevin, at 6.5 where they needed to score a touchdown and not a field goal? It was completely the wrong situation because a field goal at that time and moment, you're still forcing the Chiefs to go the length of the football field, not a lot of time and no timeouts there. But yet you continuously went for it. I couldn't understand it, Kevin. I couldn't. A great win by the Bengals. Congratulations on the championship. But what is it? Like, I almost, if I'm the ownership, Kevin, and this didn't work out, I might have fired him after the game was over, and I'm being serious.
It was wild to watch because the thing is, Donnie, had they scored the touchdown, Pat Mahomes would have had 50 seconds to go get a touchdown. It didn't ice the game, the touchdown. So I think all of those criticisms that land there are tremendously fair. Instead, though, Donnie, Zach Taylor is plus 175 to win Coach of the Year. LaFleur is the favorite at plus 150.
That's a personal thing. I can't stand that. LaFleur can't be coach of the year while Rodgers is MVP unless you can make that kind of case in unison. It's clearly Rodgers' award. If they give it to LaFleur, it is what it is. Radio audience enters the fold. Appreciate all those tuned in to the early line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh, DRS, right here on this Monday morning talking Chiefs Bengals. But Donnie, while we're talking awards, okay, and look, well, the Cincinnati Bengals and the future and everything that comes with this, I made this point to you last week. We disagreed a little bit. Incredibly, you were correct. Donnie said Mac Jones is going to have a good game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. He did. He threw 3 touchdown passes. That was more than I thought he was going to throw. And it didn't matter. Because Ja'Marr Chase, in the biggest game of the Bengals season, goes 11 catches, 266 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And this morning is now a minus 200 favorite for offensive rookie of the year. He is 4th in receiving yards in the entire NFL and 2nd in touchdowns in the entire league. Look, Donnie, you were right. Mac Jones did what he needed to do. He has no chance to win this award, and good, he never deserved it. Ja'Marr Chase is your offensive rookie of the year.
And Ja'Marr Chase took the offensive rookie of the year, right? I'm glad. Nobody backed into this one here, because from the beginning of the season, if you're going to look at Mac Jones and say, this kid's going to start every single game, they're going to be a double-digit win team and get to the playoffs, you'd say to yourself, boy, he's probably going to be easily the rookie of the year, because what else do you want from somebody else? I don't know. A decent season? No. An amazing season out of Ja'Marr Chase. And I love the fact that he wasn't even the favorite until after this weekend. Why? Because you're right, Kevin. The biggest game of the year, he showed up in the biggest moments and was the best football player in this game, and that includes so many superstars on both sides of the football. Ja'Marr Chase deserves rookie of the year here for offensive players, and rightfully so after that game against the Chiefs. And to cap it off, Kevin, it was a victory. So yes, Ja'Marr Chase is going to win the offensive rookie of the year, and he deserves it.
No doubt about it. On the Cincinnati Bengals, quickly, next week, I don't think they're playing any of their key guys. Joe Burrow tweaked the knee a little bit on that final attempt to get into the end zone there. They're listed right now as a 3-point dog against the Browns. Tomorrow we'll do early lines almost all day. That's one right now. The Browns, if they play their guys, are going to close as like a touchdown favorite. I want to talk the Chiefs side of this game and the new number one seed in the AFC. That's next right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. Still a lot to get. Donnie, on the Kansas City Chiefs who lose this game to the Cincinnati Bengals, I think it would be somewhat disrespectful to the Bengals to say, man, what a terrible loss by the Chiefs. Cincinnati's a good team on the road, a division winner. But the Chiefs were up by 14 in this football game. But here's the more important thing, Donnie, is we're at this point of the year and we're resume checking a lot of teams. At least I know I am. The Chiefs are, let's just work with me and let's assume the Bills beat the Jets next week as a 7-touchdown favorite. The Chiefs will have played all of the division winners in the AFC, and they will have lost to all of the division winners in the AFC. This performance, like, it's the way the Chiefs lost, Donnie. I can't help but have some question marks because, again, work a little bit now based on the way some things might line up. The Chiefs might go from the one seed and the only team with a bye to their path to the AFC title game being the Chargers and the Bills, two teams they've struggled with tremendously this year.
Yeah, and also you're taking a look here at the Kansas City Chiefs too. Why is it so important to get home field advantage? Because that crowd noise that Kansas City has is incredible. And now you might have to win a game on the road to get that done. And that wasn't a great look. And also, Kevin, coming into this game, right, we talked about it all season long. You don't want to go up against Kansas City because it's so hard to watch these games play out. I say, man, why did I take a money line dog here from Cincinnati when you Chiefs were red hot here? And it all of a sudden turned into, this is what we usually expect from the Chiefs, right? their defense getting absolutely shellacked here, giving up 34 points here, which could have been more if they punched in that last touchdown, get closer to 40. That's what gives you hope when you get bet against the Kansas City Chiefs, as opposed to so many games, Kevin. Remember the stretch? Cowboys, 9. Broncos, 9. Raiders, 9. I mean, they were incredible for about a month to month and a half here, but then reverting back a little bit to their old age, saying, hey, look, you get some weapons out at the wide receiver position, you can really get after this Chiefs team, which the Cincinnati Bengals did. But that's a tough loss here. And we're going to talk about a little bit, Kevin, like the top overall seed now, which is the Tennessee Titans. And as I look at the AFC overall, I actually go through like 1 through 7. And the team I would like to face the most is the Titans. And they're the one seed. Isn't that crazy?
The thing is the Tennessee Titans are now the number one seed with a chance to clinch that against the Houston Texans next week.
Yeah.
The Tennessee Titans, Donnie, with a bye week then built in, if they land that, have a phenomenal chance to have that home game feature A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and Derrick Henry. And the Titans have been phenomenal in Tennessee ever since Ryan Tannehill took over for this team. The Titans beat the Miami Dolphins 34-3. The Titans feel like a team that people are going to want to load up against here. I think a lot of that is going to depend if Derrick Henry can come back. But the fact, Donnie, that you're getting plus 450 on the number one seed to win the conference that they are the number one seed in is unbelievable to me.
It really is. And when did we see this like in the past where, remember, again, we talk about the Philadelphia Eagles 2017 season, not because they won the NFL championship, but about how they did it. Going into a game versus, I believe, they were slight dogs to the Atlanta Falcons at home in the opening round when they had the bye week. And then again against the Minnesota Vikings. So when you take a look at the team that's the number one overall seed, and also, Kevin, I keep bringing the same point up too. There's not two byes here. It's like, oh, the other team is going to get rest as well. No, you're the only team that gets rest in a bye. And you brought up a great point here. Julio Jones can't stay healthy. Let's give him 3 weeks off to get healthy. Fantastic. Hey, we might have to rush Derrick Henry back in the regular season just to make the playoffs here. No, you don't. You can win with or without him this weekend, which is a shame because I would tell Mike Vrabel right now, and you might struggle in this game without bringing King Henry back here and getting a touchdown. If he doesn't score this weekend, you might not get in. But obviously, that's not the fact. That's just being selfish that Kevin and I sit on a rushing prop that was one of the easiest rushing props of all time. Derrick Henry to score 11 rushing touchdowns, stunted by an injury, when we might be talking about Kevin, now, hey, he's got 29 touchdowns on the season right now. He has the all-time record, which isn't the case here. But I, you know, half-heartedly say that there with Tennessee, right? They're number one overall seed, and they do nothing for me. I think Kansas City's better. The Bengals can up. When the teams have their A games, right, they should be able to take the Titans down. But you're so right. The Titans are a shell of their former self now that might be able to get them back to full blast and home field advantage for the playoffs.
Yeah, it's going to be so important to see again who shows up for Tennessee. And again, they're going to have that bye week advantage all in all. Sticking, Donnie, with the AFC postseason picture. Three teams sit at 9-7. The Steelers technically alive, but come on now. They're going to need, I think, a lot of help to find their way into the postseason picture. Donnie, the Raiders beat the Colts 23-20 and moved to 9-7, puts the Colts down at 9-7, and then the Chargers absolutely roll the Denver Broncos, and they sit at 9-7. I guess we should start with this. What is your takeaway from Vegas going to Indianapolis and winning that game outright?
I'm pretty shocked by that, and to say the least. You don't even have to break down this game overall. This is one of those where when the NFL, when we talk about a week-to-week league and any given Sunday is that moniker, this was that game here. You had the red-hot Colts getting fully healthy for this game at home and ready to take off into the playoffs. When you say, Raiders, okay, nice little win here, beat a bad football team last week. But this is where their season ends, and they go on the road and win that game. That is impressive stuff here. Derek Carr hanging around. Hunter Renfrow taking over the mantle of, I'm the best player on this football team outside of Waller, which is incredible to think about. That was a fortitude win by the Vegas Raiders. And quite frankly, I'm shocked that the Colts lost, but they did.
The thing for the Colts is when they went down 7-0 and then eventually 10-0, they aren't a team to me that's super built to play from behind. You want Jonathan Taylor in front. You want Carson Wentz in comfortable, non-predictable situations. But this game was 13-10 by the time we got to the break. And after the opening possession, After the opening possession of the second half, it was 17-13. They then picked off Derek Carr on the Raiders' first possession, and this was a first and 10 at the Vegas 38 for the Indianapolis Colts. You go score a touchdown, that's ball game. That's the Raiders' season. You get a field goal, and that same sentence might be true. To have to punt in Vegas territory because of an 8-yard sack is disastrous. But as you said, right, for the Indianapolis Colts, are you going to win every single game you play? No, not really, right? But I think where this really draws my interest, Donnie, as the Los Angeles Chargers beat the Denver Broncos 34-13, two touchdowns for Herbert, just a dominant victory, really, for the Chargers the entire way. Sunday Night Football next week is going to be Chargers, Raiders. All the Colts need to do is beat the Jaguars, and they're going to land one of those final spots there in the AFC. I think we looked at that Chargers game against Vegas as a no doubt. What's Vegas going to go do? Beat the Chargers. Bonnie, Vegas is home for that game against the Los Angeles Chargers. We're early in the week, but I think Vegas getting the field goal right now at home, little bit disrespectful.
No, it certainly is a little bit disrespectful, right? Because you're almost giving the Vegas Raiders not a chance at home when, oh, wow, they beat Houston last week, Kev. What'd you want them to? No. They beat the Indianapolis Colts on the road. They're technically coming in just as hot as anybody else with a playoff chance to make it in. It's not as if you're saying, hey, well, the Raiders probably going to play hard even though they have nothing to play for. They have everything to play for in a primetime setting in their home building here. Do I think the Chargers are the better overall team? Yes, I do. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're just going to roll the helmet out there and beat the Raiders in their own building in front of their crowd. Should be a fun one to watch. Now, me, I don't really need the Chargers to win this game, and I do think they win it. But it might be a lot closer than what we had predicted, maybe even a couple weeks ago, where it looks like this game might not even matter to either team with the Chargers being in and the Raiders being out.
I'll tell you one team who doesn't want the Chargers to win, the Kansas City Chiefs. As it, the difference in this, if you're the Chiefs, is playing a team in the Vegas Raiders that you beat basically over two games 100-10, or the Chargers who beat you once and had you dead to rights a second time. Still so much up for grabs. We're hitting a break. I want to hit Rams, Ravens, and then talk about the college football weekend next. All coming up right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out our week 17. Here. I'll tell you this, a lot of this is still going to bleed into tomorrow. There's going to be so much fallout from these games, but with, you know, still some college football playoffs to get to and previewing a Monday night game that many people didn't even know was going on, then we still have to kind of keep it moving here a little bit. Look, Ravens-Rams, though, Donnie, Baltimore now have lost by one, three of their last four games. Lamar Jackson got injured. I don't know how else you really want to describe it. I think the Ravens, despite all of their struggles, go to the playoffs, probably win the North, and are a legitimate threat if Lamar was never injured. Instead, the story is the Rams escape, and they're a win away from winning the NFC West.
Big-time win by the Rams here. And having said that, we knew how tough it was going to be just to walk into Baltimore, not even who's playing on Baltimore. We know that next-man-up mentality, the Baltimore Ravens play well at home. Would it be a crazy surprise if the Rams go on the road and struggle a little bit in this football game? And they did. They really did. You're taking a look at Matthew Stafford starting that game out, the two interceptions, going, ah, this is why Matthew Stafford, this is why he's Detroit, he wasn't used to the pressure, and now he's getting the pressure and he can't perform. How about those last couple of drives, and how about the addition of Odell Beckham Jr. and what it means to this team? A massive fourth down conversion where he makes a, you know, stab with two hands, pushes the football over the first down marker and gets it. And oh yeah, came right back to him for the game winning touchdown. And when you say to yourself, like, oh, they gave up way too much, you know, for Von Miller, How about that? How much would you pay for that sack at the end of the game that basically ended it, which put you into your 12th win for the season? Players win on the field, not draft picks. That was a gutsy performance by the Rams, because even though it wasn't pretty, they probably should have lost that football game, but they ended up winning on the road in a tough environment. But also, you do have to give credit for the Baltimore Ravens. You're right, Kevin. They sit here at 8-8. Next man up mentality, backup quarterbacks, third string quarterbacks. It doesn't matter. They hang around in just about every ball game, and that's a credit to them. But the one guy that maybe doesn't want to see Lamar Jackson back, could it be Mark Andrews? Another six targets, which he caught all of them for 89 yards. He's been an absolute beast with Lamar Jackson out of the lineup. And maybe we're looking at the Baltimore Ravens saying, well, Lamar Jackson's due for a contract. Are we going to franchise tag him? Or are we going to just, you know, play this thing out or give him the $250 million? Because the offense operates okay without him here. And do you want to spend on Lamar Jackson moving forward? That's a bigger question for the Ravens. But a great performance by them. Why? If you bet him, you had your ticket. If you didn't take the money line, you took the points close to seven, you cashed in that one.
Let's handle both sides of this coin here. First of all, the Lamar stuff I find to be outrageous, yet I know it's coming. There will be people, as Donnie mentioned, and I'm not saying it's Donnie's idea, but he knows the conversations that are coming about, save some money and let Huntley be the quarterback there? In which case, countless NFL teams will be, thank you, you buffoons, for allowing a top 10 quarterback to walk out of your building and come in and save our franchise, which is why I don't really think that's going to happen. I am interested to see, though, if the Ravens, because they kind of have a contract spot where they can keep Huntley no matter what he really gets offered, but I wonder if they give him the opportunity to compete for a starting job elsewhere. All in all, it's an unfortunate circumstances for the Ravens, because I really do believe they would be in the postseason had Lamar never went down. With that being said, the Los Angeles Rams season remains alive. I think the Ravens technically do, but come on now, again, that's just not how this is going to play out here. The Los Angeles Rams, Donnie, are 12-4. The Los Angeles Rams are a home victory against a rookie quarterback away from being the number two seed in the NFC. I have been high on the Rams all season long, and I cannot help but watch them play and think to myself, yeah, they're on upset alert in the wild card round. Because Matt Stafford has thrown 11 interceptions in his last 8 weeks of football. Stafford has a massive turnover problem, Donnie, because he doesn't throw interceptions that spot the other team the ball at their own 20 and it'll be fine, our defense. No. He either takes touchdowns off the board or gives the other team seven because their pick six is here. The questions around Stafford and the postseason are fair because there are so few reps. Now, he's in the best situation of his career with a bullet. Cooper Kupp is going to win Offensive Player of the Year, and Odell Beckham Jr., as Donnie has mentioned, has proven to still be one of the elite wide receivers in this game, and he's the second choice on this offense. He's in a great spot compared to everything in Detroit, Donnie. But at the end of the day, I think that question is starting to come back. Do you trust Matthew Stafford? The Rams paid a tax to avoid that question, and I'm not sure they did.
And also, when you're heading down the stretch, I guess you can say these are de facto high-pressure playoff situations with Matthew Stafford. Didn't have a ton of in Detroit. So maybe he's working his way through, and it's not all devastation where, hey, man, I went through this whole regular season, didn't have any issues. Then I get to the playoffs, and I really struggled in one game. We got bounced. Maybe struggling yesterday and coming back from that on the road in a big-time playoff environment, we should say, at the Baltimore Ravens was a big win. Maybe you can catapult yourself in the playoffs where things aren't going your way, but you say, hey, guys, remember when we went to Baltimore? We didn't play all that well, still able to gut out a victory. We have the talent in this football game to keep moving forward, and maybe that's the pathway to victory for them, because you're right here. We're doing a lot of knocks here on the Rams. We have a chance to go out and win, you know, 13 games per se, and we're saying, like, hey, they got some flaws on their football team. This is about where we thought the Los Angeles Rams would be, a division winner out west heading into the playoffs with possibly a top seed or a top two seed, and we're a little bit down on them. It's kind of crazy that we talk that way, but the validity is there by saying we haven't seen a lot. Remember Tom Brady goes down to Tampa Bay? What do you expect? Greatness. Struggled the regular season, but just get them to the playoffs. That's where Brady does magic, and he did. They won a Super Bowl. Not the same case with Matthew Stafford moving to the Rams. We know the talent is there, but we need that upper echelon play once you hit those pressure points in the playoffs. We'll see if we get that with Matthew Stafford.
Week 17 in the NFL will continue tonight, Monday Night Football. We'll preview that game in a couple of moments here. But a week from today, we will play the national championship game between Alabama and Georgia. And Donnie, I wanted to ask you, hey, who were you more impressed by between Bama and Georgia and their respective performances, even if I thought the answer was a little bit obvious? But the answer is so obvious, I don't think I can ask it, because they've posted the lines for that national championship game. When this rematch looked inevitable, I asked the people of Twitter, what do you think the line would be for the rematch? And there were a lot of Bama 3.5s. I even saw Bama 7s. And I never thought it was going to go that far. But I actually thought, Donnie, that Bama would be favored in a rematch. A pick 'em at worst. The Georgia Bulldogs are a field goal favorite in the national championship right now. And the total is 52.5. We will have so much time to break that down. But Donnie, when you watch those two teams in action on Friday, what was your takeaway from Georgia and Alabama's respective games?
That maybe their previous game that they played in the SEC championship game might have been an anomaly at that point here, because it looks like Georgia snapped right back to what we saw for the majority of the regular season, a dominating defense and an offense that was very good, because you used to get overshadowed by that great defensive effort. And the thing that makes me chuckle a little bit here is we saw Alabama, and it wasn't Alabama 2 weeks ago, Kevin, in that SEC, or a couple weeks ago in the SEC championship game. I was like, hey, man. Boy, they got lucky. Georgia fumbled 3 times on their own 5-yard line. Alabama did nothing the whole game, but hang on. Alabama blew the doors off of Georgia here. So then you get into the semifinals, right? And we thought the big game of the night was going to be Michigan and Georgia. And I told you all along, I thought Michigan had a legitimate chance to win this game, and I liked them with the points in that one. And I was completely wrong. But having said that, what did Alabama do that was so bad, where Alabama comes out of their win against Cincinnati and people going like, what did you want them to do? The line crashed down to like 12.5 at game time. They easily covered that. They were never in danger at one point in that game, and I talked about it all week long. When you win these football games, no style points are needed, and I used the same score. Nick Saban would have loved a 28-27 game, because why? They won, and they moved on to the championship game. They dominated a very good Cincinnati team, covered the spread by more than enough, and I think the takeaway is Alabama was so-so here, Kevin, in that game.
Somehow, I feel on a complete island. It's, I promise, not some insane hot take. I was more impressed with Alabama over the weekend. So, because to me, Donnie, the fact that they hung 27, it could have been more, right? They ran the football 47 times, basically bleeding the clock from the word go. But Donnie, that Cincinnati offense has had tremendous flashes all year long. Desmond Ridder, one of the all-time winningest quarterbacks in college football history, 4.5 yards per attempt. Jerome Ford, a legitimate college football running back. Hopeless. No touchdowns for the Cincinnati Bearcats. And the reason I guess I make that point, Donnie, is I know Georgia's defense is good, but they weren't going to get their secondary tested against Cade McNamara and J.J. McCarthy. Like, Donnie, I had questions around Bama defense a little bit there. I thought that Desmond Ridder would throw multiple touchdown passes, much less only throw one. I found that Alabama defensive performance one where I really don't. And look, it's early. We'll see where things land. I just feel like Alabama is being disrespected here a little bit on a field goal line early week. It'll be so fun to talk about this game and the way that this is all going to shape up here, that early 52.5 total as well. Juice, maybe? We certainly will hope. Before we get to Monday Night Football, though, it is important we talk about the Sugar Bowl. Ole Miss, Baylor. Of course, it has nothing to do with the result. Bowl games are meaningless. That's the point. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Monday Night Football preview is on deck with Donnie. The biggest thing to come out of the bowl season, aside, of course, from the college football playoff games, has to be the Matt Corral injury against Baylor. Now, the early returns there, x-rays negative, seems to be an ankle sprain. Whenever you see, you know, lower leg, you worry about the knee being torn up here. Matt Corral at one point had listed odds to be the number one overall pick on the FanDuel Sportsbook for the NFL draft. Those odds have been taken down because with that injury, Donnie, there's seemingly no consideration that Matt Corral could potentially land that top spot in the upcoming NFL draft. He'll sat there and he'll have been thankful, Donnie, that it was only an ankle sprain. And I understand that Matt Corral made that decision to go out there and play. Nobody forced him, and that's what Matt Corral wanted to do. But Donnie, this is about bowl season, and it's about the people that continue to offer up these absolutely horrid, not thought out takes that these kids don't love football or that they don't care enough about their schools by skipping bowl games that mean nothing, as if the Baylor Bears were storming campus because of a Sugar Bowl victory.
Yeah, the love of the game, right? I guess if they didn't love the game, Kevin, you know, some of these players opting out that final game, like, I'm opting out because I want to go show insurance. I hate this game. I'm not going pro, even though I'm going to be a top 10 draft pick in the NFL. No, they're opting out because they do love the game, and they want to continue playing it and make a lot of money in the NFL. That's a short version of this. When you take a look at guys that play and don't play or who wants to do this or that, sure, there's insurance policies that the university can take out. But you can't. I would never question Matt Corral playing in that game if that's what he wanted to do. Is it something I would do? Absolutely not here. Because when your future is on the horizon and it's an exhibition game, and I always like to revert back from sport to sport, Kevin. We just talked about, I had that little teaser, you know, saying, hey, Aaron Rodgers, I guess he doesn't love the game because he's going to sit out week 18. Who would do that with a chance to go on and put on a show for your home crowd or your away crowd? No, it's a smart thing to do because you're trying to win a Super Bowl. The same thing in the NFL is, well, a preseason game, which doesn't mean anything. Why doesn't Tom Brady take 100% of the snaps in all three preseason games? Because it does not matter. The only goal is to be healthy here. And for some of these kids, if you're playing for a national championship, I understand it. That's what you signed up for. That is a meaningful game. Playing in the, oh, but it's the Rose Bowl to show up here. Yeah, the top two wide receivers sat this one out. It doesn't mean the whole team doesn't want to play. But when you are a first-round draft pick or you are a high seed that says, hey, look, skip this game, you will be a millionaire. Play in this game, you'll probably still be a millionaire, but boy, running that 40-yard dash when you tore your hamstring and had to get surgery, or how about this, tearing an ACL where you're going to have a rehab season, so a team goes, well, we were going to take you 15th overall. We'll take a flyer on you in the third round. Hopefully that knee recovers here. It's not fair to the students. Credit them for playing, yes, but also don't take away any credit, Kevin, for these kids sitting out meaningless football games.
Yeah, as if these general managers are about to all pick Matt Corral in front of Kenny Pickett because Corral went out there for a quarter of football, who, by the way, didn't look very good even in the quarter of football. And as if Kenny Pickett doesn't love football, who's going to, in an ideal world for him, dedicate the next decade of his life to playing football. Quickly, last thing before we get to the Monday night game, Jackson Smith in Jigba, Ohio State, one of the all-time great single-game performances. Honestly, I think in sports history, that doesn't feel too big of a statement there, Donnie. 15 catches, 347 yards, a bowl record. Not Rose Bowl record, not Ohio State. No, a bowl record, period, and three touchdowns. That, of course, coming from a game where C.J. Stroud threw for 573 yards and six touchdowns. Both of those guys are back next year. I mentioned this the other day. C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young are both back next season. It is unbelievable to me that the two best quarterbacks in all of college football are just going to run it back next year with two of the top four programs in the entire country. Like, they're both going to be overwhelmingly favored to make the college football playoff, and they'll clearly be choice one and two for next year's Heisman Award.
And my only question is, Ohio State, how did you lose two games this year? I mean, you had two first-rounders, high draft picks at wide receiver. I said, you know what? We're going to take the day off. And Ohio State goes, yeah, we got this. You know who actually is our number one wide receiver at, like, you know, usage rate-wise? And I shouldn't say usage rate-wise, but yards-wise was Smith and Jigba. And then all of a sudden, yeah, this guy Marvin Harrison doesn't play that much. You remember his dad? He was a Hall of Famer. We're just going to plug him in the Rose Bowl in a big spot, and he'll grab three touchdown catches. I don't know how. Like, Ryan Day gets a lot of credit for building that roster. But then when you take a look at what that roster actually was with a Heisman Trophy caliber quarterback and a seemingly endless weapons at wide receiver, and they didn't. One loss would have been fine. Two losses? Wow, Ohio State.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's almost like that somehow messed up someone's win total over 11 of at least not getting a push. I have no idea how that happened. Like, I still, yeah. Part of me still thinks, Donnie, that they absolutely smoke Georgia, like a fully healthy Ohio State team with their pass offense, but yet somehow they were just sat there playing the wild scenes. Wild scenes as well on Monday Night Football. Why? Well, again, I kept forgetting that this game was happening. One. Yeah. Two, the lines are now out of control because the Browns have been eliminated from the postseason. The Steelers technically aren't, which according to the lines, Donnie, just means that the Steelers automatically win. The Browns were a 3.5-point favorite when everything was supposed to be normal, I guess, a.k.a. when the Chiefs were supposed to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. And now the Steelers are the favorites in this football game. Their money line is minus 130. The total for this game is 42.5. What do you make of Steelers-Browns here on this Monday morning?
I actually disagree with the line movement, Kevin, and here's the reason why. Most people say, like, well, why would you disagree with it? Cleveland's out. Pittsburgh has a chance to get into the playoffs. I understand that, but we're also taking a look, Kevin. This isn't the last game of the season, and here's how I'm going to play this one out. This is a Cleveland Browns team that prepared all week getting ready for this game on Monday Night Football to possibly, hey, let's win this, let's beat Cincinnati, and we got a chance to get into the playoffs as long as some things break our way. They practiced, they prepared, they're ready for the game, and late yesterday you get word that you're not going to be in the playoffs. The game plan is already in. The hard work is done. They're not just going to show up on Monday night in Pittsburgh and say, I don't care about this football game here. Now, this would be different, Kevin, if it wasn't week 17 and it was week 18, where on Monday, you knew that you were out of the playoffs. You're not going to prepare as much. The coaching staff's going to say, hey, man, hey Nick Chubb, I love you, kid. And I would give you 25 carries in this game, but I need you into the offseason healthy. We're not going to do that. We're going to play more, you know, Dearness Johnson or, you know, some other backups that we have here. The fact of the matter is the mindset is still going to be the same. This is still a rivalry game. And again, it's not week 18. Next week, a completely different story for how Cleveland approaches that final game versus the Bengals. The approach is not going to change. So you're right. For a spread that opened up at 3.5, and the only thing that changed is the Cleveland Browns can't make the playoffs, they're still going to play hard in this game. I want to see where this winds up, because if you're going to give me Cleveland getting more than 3 points in this game by game time, I'm taking the Cleveland Browns here.
The Steelers are a hilarious 1-5 against the spread as a favorite, and they are like, they're not better than the Browns. The last game the Steelers played was an impossible rout at the hands of the Kansas City Chiefs, where it looked like those teams weren't even playing the same sport. Look, we've talked about this with Pittsburgh as well. They're down at the beginning of every single first half. They're 0-7 against the number in the first half in their last seven games overall. I think Cleveland early makes all the sense in the world here. I think you make a great point as well. I think it'd be a very poor reflection of the Cleveland Browns, Donnie, for them to think this was going to be a postseason game, and then for Stefanski and the Baker and this locker room to be like, I can't even be bothered here. Look, I understand it's deflating, but this is a Browns team also, Donnie, that I feel like they could use a win here on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That to me feels more like who this Browns team is. Like, they've been beat up on for so long. I don't really know if they're in the business of just handing football games over to massive division rivals like you have here tonight in the Pittsburgh Steelers. I will say the total is really almost impossible for me to get a true read on this early in the morning, because I watch Big Ben, I go, I never want to bet on you. I watched Baker Mayfield last week, and I'm like, I don't know how you tanked that total, but you absolutely did. But 42.5 is also a little bit light. If this game gets going a little bit earlier, these teams played earlier in the season. I think there were 25 total points, though, put on the board, Donnie. Any early thoughts on the total or props in this football game?
Usually I would lean towards the under in this game, right? Because you're right. Big Ben Roethlisberger. What's the Cleveland Browns, or excuse me, the Pittsburgh Steelers offense? Hands off to the running back, you know. Najee gets a couple yards here. And then you throw jump ball to Claypool for the rest of the game, and usually it doesn't work out well. And then you take a look at the Cleveland Browns. Lean on your offensive line, run the football. Yes, it makes some sense. But I do agree, actually, Kevin, that the line is moving up now. Opened up at 41, now sits at that 42.5 number. Why? Because the Cleveland Browns aren't going to be in this game to just say, hey, let's ground and pound and get out of here. You can play more free in this game, can't you? Hey, fourth and two from midfield, let's go for it. What's the worst that can happen? We miss the playoffs? Yeah, we're already out of the playoffs. How about we try to drag the Pittsburgh Steelers out of the playoffs along with us? If there's some sort of consolation that we can get, certainly beating the Steelers to keep them out would be worthwhile. So again, looking from a Cleveland perspective, not even the Pittsburgh perspective, Kevin, a Cleveland perspective, you should be going for an every fourth and short. You should be taking deep shots in this game, because it's no longer about survival and advance for Cleveland. You're out. Just go in and win the football game. And if that means taking chances, go ahead and take them. Give me the over.
The interesting thing right now, early in the morning, Donnie, is there's not very many props listed, right? They have the both quarterbacks' yardage props up. No over-under on touchdown passes. They have the top two receivers for each team in the receiving yards markets. And then only Najee Harris for rushing props, again, at this point here in the morning. None of the match specials are listed either. There are touchdown score markets that you can get involved with there. Najee Harris is minus 155. Nick Chubb's minus 135. And then you enter all into those plus money ranges here. My question, though, Donnie, is do you caution people on Nick Chubb props? Do you caution people on Baker Mayfield props in a world where they don't give full workloads to some of these guys because their season has ended?
No, I don't. If they're healthy going in, because again, I preface this by saying it's week 17, which in the past was the final week, but now you have a week 18. There's still two football games left. You're still earning your paycheck. Usually it's the final week of the season where the preparation changes and you don't want those injuries or, hey, why are we going to do this or play this guy here? Let's get into the offseason and regroup here. You still have a game to play against a division rival on Monday Night Football. They're going to put their best effort forth tonight, which means if Nick Chubb needs 25 carries, he'll get it this week. He won't get it next week.
Yeah, I really want to see where a lot of these numbers land. The one thing I will say about this game, it is the last Monday Night Football game of the regular season, which means on In Play Sports tonight, myself and Donnie Wrightside will need to line up some match specials. All of the numbers are probably going to be massive. I feel like there's a good chance, DRS, that they give us two touchdowns in each half, and that's really all I could ask for. Two touchdowns in each half, and we get this thing rolling. It would be a beautiful, beautiful start to my 27th birthday, which is today. Donnie Wrightside closes out the early line next, right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day here for the early lines. Channel 159. Thank you for spending your morning with us here, Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. Before we hand it off to Ben Stevens and the morning after, we like to play armchair quarterback. The playoffs are on the horizon, so people, listen up. All right, everybody, listen up. Week 17 is just about over. Will the playoffs start next week? No, hold on, people. Hold on. Week 17 this year, week 18 this year, then the playoffs start. In the past, we'd already be getting ready next weekend. But we want to savor this extra week because there's still some things that have to be determined. Yes, we know in the NFC, the Green Bay Packers are going to take down the number one overall seed. We're still waiting to see who's going to do that in the AFC. What looks like prohibitive favorite here, the Tennessee Titans, to take that down. And as Kevin talked about early in the show, getting back A.J. Brown at one wide receiver spot, Julio Jones may be healthy for the playoff run, and also Derrick Henry at running back. There's a lot of intriguing things as these teams jockey for playoff positioning, one all the way down to the seventh extra spot. But I want to bring this up because this is one of those weeks that fluctuates even more than any other week with the point spreads, because some teams playing for something, some teams not playing for a lot, some teams trying to be a spoiler, other teams already going into the offseason. But I want to talk playoff football here and how exciting this is going to be, particularly right here with us on Sports Grid. You have a doubleheader on Saturday. You have three games then the following Sunday here, and then also a Monday night football playoff game. So it used to be we had the three games on Saturday, the three games on Sunday, nothing on Monday night, and you flipped it forward to the next week. But this year, as we like to say, a football extravaganza with the doubleheader on Saturday night, three games Sunday, and then the Monday night game, which is a standalone game. Now, heading forward through, the playoffs are a great time. These teams are going to get after it. Maybe crown a Super Bowl on the biggest stage in that brand new SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. So make sure you stay along with the grid on this. But the playoffs are on the horizon. My favorite time of the year in the NFL. You know, this is a great time here on the grid. Staying tuned to Ben Stevens on the morning after from 9 to 12. You know who's going to be for that first hour? You got it. DRS for the early line. We'll see you tomorrow.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.